small town hospital. And the doctors all needed to go in another direction and help these victims from an accident. Do you want to wait for your surgery later in the day, or would you like us to go ahead and reschedule? I'm thinking the doctor's going to be pretty pooped by the time they're done with those folks, so I think I'll just reschedule. But waiting and waiting and waiting, how long do I have to spend waiting? And a lot of us have struggles, don't we, with waiting. Timing to us sometimes seems way off, but timing in God's eyes is perfect. You know, words like triage are significant. What we need is to wait in hope and staying power. And I wanted to go through this text in the Old Testament here just a little bit this morning that relates to us and waiting and the importance. And in this text, starting out in verse 27, here is the complaint. Why do you say, O Jacob, why complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. You see what's going on there? They're waiting. They're in exile. They're wondering what God's going to do. And He's not seemingly doing anything. And so they wait. These folks were chosen people. This was during the Assyrian exile. And later, we know of Ezekiel speaking of the Babylonian exile. And here he is beyond the river, no longer in Jerusalem, and talking to God and recognizing God was still there, even though they had to wait. Things weren't going their way. Certainly things were not going Israel's way when you find yourself as the chosen people of God and you're in exile. That doesn't seem to be going your way, does it? No. Okay, so it's not going, note, their way. That's a key word there. It's not going their way. It's not going the way they wanted it to go. But God, in His ultimate plan, knew that this was going the way God ultimately needed for it and wanted for it to go so that His ultimate purposes could come about. So in this text in Isaiah 40, as Isaiah is sharing with the people, he's letting them know, it may seem like God is hidden and His way is hidden. It may seem like my cause is disregarded, but God is there. And it only seems like He left on vacation, but He is not. He's always there, and He's always aware. So, if they're looking at Isaiah and God, they're saying, my way is hidden, my purpose or my whatever I want to happen is disregarded, the obvious question is why? There are some obvious whys, and there was an obvious why in this case with many of the Israelites. It was their sin. That would put them in exile. Now, it may not have been. There were particular ones that were faithful to God, but they still went into exile. But as a whole, the country was not obeying God, and God said, enough's enough. Because, you know, they repented several times and kept going back to the same old thing, and God finally said, enough is enough. You're going into exile. So sin may be an obvious why when it comes to thinking my way is hidden, thinking that my what I want, what I desire is disregarded. Sometimes sin steps in, and sin makes us, separates us from God's ultimate purpose until we get that clear. My sin or my cause is not being addressed because I want my purposes and not God's purposes. I shared with some of you years ago a situation where I felt my particular desires were not being met by my parents at a Six Flags Over Georgia event. We were going to the, you know, Six Flags Over Georgia, like Six Flags Over some other places. Well, we were there as a kid, and I wanted to go on all these rides, and my parents were so slow and following along, and my three brothers, and I jumped ahead on one of these rides. I got in line. I thought they were following me. I got onto this ride. My parents and my family were nowhere to be seen. I'm on this ride that happens to be, you've seen them at some of the larger fairs, that spins around and then the floor falls down and you're kind of stuck to the wall. Really kind of cool. Although for me it wasn't so cool, because afterwards I spent some time, if you know what I mean. Apparently that spinning around didn't work real well with me. If I'd only waited, I probably wouldn't have gone on the ride and things would have been better for me. But I wanted to do what I wanted to do, not what my parents and the family had for us to do. They had something else in mind, and I had to keep them waiting when I went on this ride. And then I paid the price afterwards. But you see, my way is hidden and my way is disregarded by God, or in this case, my parents, because I wanted my way, not His way. And He has a better purpose for us. You see, we can't see the big picture. My parents had a bigger picture for me, and I went my own way instead. God has a bigger picture for you and I, and we don't see it right now. We don't know why we have to go through some of the things we're going through right now, but the big picture is a better picture for us if we just listen. But we don't do a good job of that sometimes. There's some of the not-so-obvious whys either. Maybe I am in exile right now, and maybe I have it just like I told you. There were some in Israel who were in exile, and it wasn't an exile because they had done something wrong. Some of them were faithful. There was a remnant who still loved God and were faithful to God, was not following the pagan gods of all the foreign countries, was not doing that, but they still were in exile because of what happened to the whole. And sometimes things happen to you and I in our lives totally irregardless of sin. It just happens. You know, sometimes people say, well, boy, they've got better luck than I do. You know, sometimes good things happen to not so good people, and some bad things happen to some very good people, and you wonder why things happen to them and not to them, and all that sort of thing. In fact, there's a psalmist in Psalm 73 that says the same thing. One of my favorite psalms. Because here is a man who is doing his best to do what God wants him to do, and he was doing everything God wanted him to do, if he could at least determine. And he's looking around him because he's seeing some things that are happening to him that he doesn't really like. And he looks around, he sees all these evil people, says nothing bad's happening to them. They're just doing their own thing, and all the good things are happening. Look at me, look at what's happening to me. Some bad things are happening to me. And he goes through this whole Psalm 73, and he whines and whines and whines about all the things that are happening to him, and it's not affecting those who don't love you. But he gets to a point in that psalm when he says, I didn't understand any of this until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw. Saw for one, when he went into the sanctuary of God, I believe what he saw was God's always been there and always will be. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. I have a future that's blessed, even if the present stinks. But those who do not trust in Him, those who will not acknowledge Him and follow Him, they have a future that is bleak, a future that is not good. And the psalmist finally recognized. And basically, in a sense, was saying, God, I need to stop complaining and just praise You. I've got to stop complaining and just start praising, because You are still in charge. And You're going to meet my needs even when it feels like they're not met. Sometimes God works in those kinds of ways even more strongly in some of the other ways. You see, God could lift His little finger and fix it all, couldn't He? We wouldn't need faith if He did that, would we? If every time you and I had something happen in our life that was bad, and we called to God and say, God, fix it, and God fixed it, it wouldn't take faith, would it? Because it just happens. It just automatically happens. You see, I think there's something in the struggle of life that helps us to trust Him. when we don't see tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month or how this thing is going to pan out, all we have to do at that point is just trust Him. Trust Him that He's going to get us through it. Trust us. Trust Him that He's going to get us to the other side of whatever it is that's going on. And I think that's why God designed it the way He designed it, so that we would just trust Him. Getting back to the text. After they're complaining, my way is hidden, my cause is disregarded, then Isaiah and God Himself is reminding them something. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. He doesn't get tired of us complaining. He doesn't get tired of all the things that go on in life. Nothing is too big for God. He does not grow tired or wearied, and His understanding no one can fathom. We need to understand that too. His understanding is beyond our understanding. Our human understanding has limitations. And we don't know what ultimately is going on behind the scenes, the big picture. We've got the little puzzle piece in a big puzzle. We may have 5 or 6 pieces in that big puzzle, but we don't have the whole. God does. Reminder in that verse of God's sovereignty. Have we forgotten who He is? The eternal Creator? This one who doesn't grow weary or sleep. He doesn't faint. His understanding is unsearchable. We don't know what He's doing. But you know what? We don't live by explanation. We live by faith. Let me say that again. We don't live by explanation. We live by faith. I would prefer sometimes an explanation. God, show me why this is all going on, so I can better understand it. Usually that comes after the fact. It doesn't come in it. But we do not live by explanation. We live by faith. And I believe that's exactly what He's telling us in Isaiah. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, or another word that's used in other translations, wait in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. You see, 29 through 31 there is talking to us about the access to God's sustaining power. To the faint and the weary. That's where we find ourselves when we're waiting in that waiting room and we don't know when we're going to see the doctor. Or when the surgery is going to take place. We're faint and we're weary. God gives us access to His sustaining power in the midst of that. None of us can make it in our own strength. That's acknowledged in the text. We grow weary. We are faint. He does not grow weary. He does not faint. He gives us strength. And in fact, He gives us that beautiful imagery, soaring on wings like eagles, so that we too can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not be faint. So what I ask you and I to do, and I start first with me, is this: wait in confident, eager suspense for what God is going to do. Even in the depths of what's going on, wait in confident, eager suspense that God is working in His own time. Maybe you could look at it something like this, like waiting to pick up a new car. My brother ordered a truck, a brand new truck. And in today's world, it takes a while to get it. And he keeps giving me updates. He's seen a picture of the truck, but he doesn't have his truck yet. And he's got to keep waiting. Could be end of June, could be end of July, could be August, who knows. But he's going to get a truck someday. Can't we look at it that way when it comes to what God is wanting to do in our life, even though right now it stinks to wait? or waiting on that wedding night. For all the activities of that day, you kind of can be familiar with that. So waiting for all the things to happen throughout that day and the weeks up to the wedding and all that stuff, and waiting for that wedding night. Confident, eager suspense. Or that badly desired Christmas gift that it's under the tree, but I can't open it yet unless you cheat. And then Christmas isn't the same, is it? I want to close with this. When I was a student at Taylor University, I was pastoring a little country church while I was also the chief of police of our little police department, and I was taking classes, and my wife, we had kids. I don't know how I did it. I have no idea how we did it. We were nuts back then. But while we were there in this little country church, there was a lady in the church that came down with ALS. I'm a rookie pastor, never dealt with anything like this. I'd go over to see her and visit with her. And here's what she would say to me. Her name was Helen Rice. What a lovely Christian lady. She said, "I've had a blessed life. And I can handle this. Because the wait is worth it. I can handle this, what's coming. Because the wait is worth it." See? The wait is worth it because God's going to fix everything in the end. And so the wait for you and I is worth it because in the end, God's going to fix it. It may not come tomorrow, next week, or next month. It may not come next year. But in the end, God's going to fix it so we can wait. How long I have to spend in the waiting room, I don't know. But I know in the end, there's a guarantee. It's worth the wait, isn't it? Can I end with those verses that were shared with us at the very end, the second text in Romans? Because these verses, I think, share with us why it's worth the wait. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has given to God what God should repay Him? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You. We don't like to wait. I'll admit it, God. I'm an impatient person sometimes, and I want answers now. Why do we have to suffer for a season? Why did this thing have to happen right now? Why is there a wrench in the plans that I had that seemed to be good plans? They seemed to be God-like plans, but yet something happened. Why? Maybe instead I need to step back. And maybe we all need to step back and not ask why, but instead just say, God, what is in store as I wait. May I bring glory and honor and praise to You in the waiting. And know that in the end, it'll all be taken care of. Even if the wait is a long time. That keeps me going. That gives me hope. It's an eternal hope and a living hope. So God, help us to hope in that way. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.